welcome to Two Boomer Women. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. I've been talking with Boomer Women for almost a decade now. Well, I guess I've been talking to Boomer Women all my adult life. Reinventing myself several times along the way, though, but always focused on us, Boomer Women. With this incarnation of Two Boomer Women, I'll be interviewing other women who have a message of interest for our demographic. If you want to hear about or learn about something specific, let me know and I'll find someone who understands us to talk about it. There's a contact page at twoboomerwomen.com. If you want to be a guest on Two Boomer Women, bring it on. There's an application form at the website too. Finally, this show is all about conversation. We women know its value. We know how to do it, and we must perpetuate the art form. So let's get started with today's show. Welcome back to Two Boomer Women. It's Agnes here. I am so excited for our show today. My guest is accomplished author Maggie Tom. Well, that's her pen name. By day, she goes by Glenna Majot. We chose to meet several years ago because we were both involved in online training. At that point in time, we lived in neighboring cities. A couple of years ago, I moved back here and we got together again, but between life and COVID, we haven't had coffee again. But Glenna has remained a person of interest to me. When she agreed to come on podcast, I was thrilled. Glenna, welcome.
Hi, Agnes. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm really excited to be here.
When you agreed to come on podcast, I decided I should be the good host and actually read one of your books. I'll be honest, suspense thrillers are not my preferred genre, but I downloaded Deadly Ties, poured myself a glass of wine, and dug in. A number of hours later, the bottle was empty and I was engrossed, but finally disengaged and went to bed, where I dreamt about a few of the scenarios. That's crazy. Your plots are detailed enough to keep the brain firing on all cylinders. And just when I start to figure out your storyline, plot twist. Now, were you born with that skill or did you have to develop it?
That's a great question. I think really it was something I had to develop. I know I've always loved reading stories that had twists and turns and kept you sort of guessing and engaged, right? But it took a while to develop it where I now have it sort of down to, I don't want to say a science because all my books are different, but they all have those twists and turns. I want to keep you guessing and keep you wondering. Even if you know what's going on, it's like, how come this is happening, right? So I would definitely say it's definitely something that's developed over time. And, you know, I definitely have learned from some of the great writers out there.
Okay. Now, the genre, suspense, thriller, mystery, was that obvious to you right from the beginning?
No, actually. Interesting. When I started, I mean, I loved reading those kind of books. But interestingly, no, I started out writing romance. I think probably because a number of the authors that I really like, that's where they started. And for some reason, I thought that's what you had to do. You had to start writing romance and then you could get into, you know, whatever else you wanted to write. So I started writing romance and actually my very first book that I published, Captured Lies, started out as a romance and I loved the storyline, but I didn't want a romance. I wanted the twists and turns. I wanted a suspense thriller. So I ripped it apart and, basically started over with it, and it took me a long time to rewrite it, but I turned it into a suspense thriller mystery that just, I just loved where it went. And so I was thrilled that I was able to do that. But yeah, so I started out writing romance and then, you know, figured out how to switch to making suspense thrillers and that it was okay to write suspense thrillers.
Okay. Now, I didn't know that prior to this, so I am going to go sideways for just a brief moment. Several years ago, when I was thinking about getting into writing and not probably nonfiction more than anything, when I was doing my research, what I heard is that the romance writer field is incredibly supportive of each other. Is that a fact?
Yeah, I think you can say in any field. I know that in a suspense thriller, just any authors, and especially nowadays, because self-publishing and indie authors, there's so many, and then there's what's called hybrid authors. They do some traditional, some self-publishing. It is an incredibly supportive industry. Oh. I don't think it matters the genre. I have met some incredible writers in all different genres and feel very supported and can ask questions of different authors. And yeah, it's a great, great community.
Oh, that's good to know. And especially, you know, I think I once again, many years ago, I did all this research and it's like 85% of the adult population think they've got a book in them. And, you know, so to hear that sort of support, if somebody really wants to take the plunge, then it sounds like they can get the support out there. Like, even if it's just the, no, you can do this, you know, like a little bit of a cheering squad.
Yeah. And there's lots of that. And it doesn't matter fiction or nonfiction. I write both, but it very supportive people and authors and writers willing to, you know, give you some advice, tell you, you know, it just encourage you. Because the biggest thing is just knowing that it's okay for you to write and that you can write.
Yeah.
You can. I truly believe everybody can, but an extremely tiny percent will. Like you mentioned, 85%. And I was reading some stats and it said actually of that 85%, about 5% will start. And 1% of that 5% will get it written. And 1% of that 1% will actually publish. So that's a pretty tiny, tiny, tiny amount that will actually follow through. Yeah. It is a commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you start looking at those numbers and you sort of think, oh, maybe there's a market for me. I just got to finish. Now, as we talked about, Maggie and Tom do have her plots have a life of their own and are just complex enough. I you know, I loved it. I don't want to discourage anybody thinking, oh my God, like, how am I going to keep it straight? No, they're just complex enough. Now, how do you map that out? Like, do you actually, you know, because as I said, you just start to get on this path and it's like plot twist. And
you know, Agnes, it's actually a process and it's one that I learned over time. And my writing process has changed a ton. I used to write a book and I used to start at the beginning and write until I got to the end kind of thing. And I don't do that anymore. I actually discovered Scrivener. And I absolutely love it. And it, for me, it transformed my writing because I no longer write my books in order, which even talking with some other authors are quite fascinated that I do that. But I write chapters that come to me. Now, often, you know, I'll go sort of along the pace, but then a chapter will come to me. It's like, okay, this has to be here. I don't know where it goes. So I'll write the chapter. And so after I've written my book, and even while I'm doing it, I move chapters around all the time to see, okay, does this make sense? Can this happen here? Do I have enough things that will hint to this happening? You know, and I try and make sure that it all makes sense. So, of course, once I get to the end, you know, I go through it probably 20, 30, 50 times easily to make sure that things are happening in order, they make sense, you know, that it's got the twists in the right place. So It's quite a process. I think I make it more complicated than it needs to be, but so far it works for me. So
by the same token, that makes total sense. I would never, ever have thought of, oh, you know, here's a good little mini plot and I really like it. I'm going to write it now and figure out where it fits later. But it makes so much sense because do you get as much into your characters as I did?
Actually, I do. Sometimes I look around thinking, oh, it's a good thing people aren't here because I do. Like if they're doing something, I'll scrub my face or I'll move my body and I'll think, okay, what kind of shape would they be in? What would they be doing? You know, and so I will physically do the actions that they're doing. I mean, I've cried with some of my characters. I seriously have been sitting here just bawling my eyes out as I'm, you know, writing away. So, yeah, I very much am involved, very involved with the characters and even away from writing. I mean, they're there and I play with them and I always try and make sure when I'm writing characters, you know, does this make sense for them? Like the words they're using, the actions they're doing, you know, everything that they do, I try and make sure it makes sense for that type of person, right? And that they're clear as to who they are. So, you know, there's consistency and you get a good idea of who they are, whether you like them or don't like them. So, yeah.
I'm really appreciating this because you're really humanizing the whole thing. You know, you think of writers as being these people, or at least I certainly did, especially nonfiction, is, you know, they get this storyline in their head, and they start writing and, you know, the things come to them and they take it somewhere. And you think about it as a progression of characters, but it sounds like you sort of immerse yourself into that life for a while. You get to know them, you figure them all out, or you see them or whatever. And that's great. I could get into that.
Yeah, to me, it just makes writing one so much more fun, right? Because you've got all these people you're hanging out with. It gets a little annoying at times. No, I love it because it's constantly and the situations, right? It's like, okay, so how could I make, if I want to have a twist in there, it's always about, okay, how can I make this happen and what makes sense for that person, right? And what would be, if I have something that's way out in left field, how do I make that so people will accept that they did that, right? So it's also fun. I play with it, a lot, especially away from it. And that's probably one of the biggest tips I would give anybody who's writing. And it doesn't matter, fiction or nonfiction, spend time away from actually writing it and typing it out, playing with your idea. Let it grow. Let it kind of meld. Let yourself toss around like tons of ideas. And you'll be amazed. The more you do it, the more that'll come to you. For example, I'm just finishing off book two in this series that I'm doing. I've just finished book one. It's going to be coming out in May. I've just got it back from the editor, actually, so have a little bit of work to do with that. But I'm just in the process of writing, finishing up book two, and then going through my process before I send it to the editor. And just last night, something came to mind. I was like, oh no, I need to have this in there, right? So even, up to the final end, there's like little things. It's like I need to add this, and this would make, that more sense kind of thing. So it's kind of a continuous until I finally set it free.
When you were a child, did you have this incredible imagination, or once again, is this just sort of developed?
I think it sort of developed. No, having said that, I mean, I wrote my first book when I was 9, and I basically remember sort of the bits of the story, but why at that time, I don't know, but I cut pieces of paper into really small, like 1-2 inch pieces. And I was going to have this tiny book, and I had hundreds of them. I think my parents, I drove them crazy with having these little pieces of paper all over. And of course, I'm writing on each page. Anyway, so I wrote my first book then. Unfortunately, I threw it away when I was 21 because I was scared somebody would actually read the thing. But so, I mean, I did have it, but I sort of stepped away from it because it was like, who do you think you are trying to write? And that just wasn't something that was encouraged. It wasn't seen as a career or something you did outside of a hobby. So I think I did, but I really suppressed it for a long time. So yeah, I didn't do a lot of writing when I was in university. I did some. I did mostly poetry. That it was kind of after university that I really, really wanted to pursue writing. But again, it took some time to convince myself it was okay.
Right. If I can ask a personal question now, and just a yes or no answer is great. Is this a career that you can live on?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I just didn't want to get into numbers and income and stuff. Okay, big question. Pseudonym. Talk to us about a pseudonym.
Why did I do that?
Well, I get, yeah, I mean, I think I understand, or I could see a why in terms of just maintaining your own personal privacy. But
Actually, that wasn't the reason, but a lot that is why they come up with the pseudonym. So Maggie Tom, I came up with that actually for a couple of reasons. Back when I was first publishing, I was doing other stuff under my real name, Glenn Maggio. And as a reader, I am the type of reader that I like when an author has like one genre and that's all of their books. So kind of old school because nowadays, people just publish everything under their own name and it doesn't really matter. But for me, when I had published, and I really played around with it, should I, shouldn't I? Good idea, bad idea? And so I decided to do it because I wanted my suspense thrillers to be under one name, and then anything else I wrote, my nonfiction under my name. So I went with a pen name because of that. So it's been interesting to have. I would definitely do it very differently. I think I still might do the pen name, but I would do things very differently because back then, of course, I was trying to hide that, it was two separate people. And it was like, yeah, no, this is just too much work. And so, I created like two personas all over the internet on all social media, and that just became too much. But anyway.
That's your full-time job is
Yeah.
maintaining your secret identities.
Yeah. So anyway, a few years ago, I was like, yeah, no, this is too much. But of course, by then I had Maggie Tom established, so
Yeah.
wanted to keep it going. So,
how did you come up with Maggie Tom, or was that just a?
Well, actually, that came from my name. So Majo, I took that and I just sort of shortened, made Maggie out of that, and then Tom. My maiden name is Thompson, so I just shortened that to Tom. So yeah, so it came from my names actually. So.
Inside secrets. I'm going to have to charge people to listen to this. Okay, one aspect of writing, especially in this digital day and age, that I've wondered about, and hopefully a few listeners have too, can you give us a brief overview, or as deep as you want, of publishing? Now, you talked about an editor. I know you're published. You're hard copy and digital, correct?
Yes. So, I can talk about my writing process to publishing and then the whole publishing thing. I'll back up a little bit. When I had finished writing Captured Lies and Tore It Apart, it was back in about 2010, I believe. And I sent it off to a traditional publisher because I thought, okay, I'm just going this route. Self-publishing was really starting to take off at that point, but I was like, So I sent it off to a publisher, and it was one of the big six, and they were quite interested. But we were about a year into discussion, and I'm like, okay, how much longer does this take to publish? And they were like, another 2 years, maybe. And I'm like, no, it's taken me a long time to get here. I was ready to be published. So I pulled it and I self-published, or indie published, as people call it now. And I'm absolutely thrilled that I did it. It was an extremely steep learning curve, but I'm thrilled that I did. So my process now for publishing is, when I finish writing a book, I walk away from it, and then I come back with fresh eyes. I leave it for a little while. I come back, I read it, I go through it, make sure it makes sense, and you know, catch as many typos and everything else as I can. Then I send it off to what I call my beta team. I have six, I think, of my beta team right now. And I send it to them and get their feedback. Does it make sense? You know, is there any inconsistencies, things they don't like? Is there any part of the story that they kind of, you know, it pulled them out of it? So they read through and they send me back, you know, all of their notes and feedback. And then I go through it again, read through it again, edit it again. And then at that point, I send it off to my editor to get her to, you know, rip it apart again. And she's amazing. And then when I get it back from her again, I go through it. And in the meantime, I have an ARC team. So that's an advanced reading. They get an advanced reading copy. And so with them, it's to read and review. But they also provide me feedback, again, if there's something that they've caught that's been missed in this whole process. You know, something they didn't like, or, you know, those kind of things. And anyway, then after I get their responses back, I finish up the final version and publish it. But of course, in the meantime, I'm putting out that this book is coming, you know, like 2 months ahead. I usually try, and actually I need to get my new book cover and stuff up. But anyway, about 2 months ahead, I usually try and get information up there and out there that it's coming. So like my next book will be coming out in May, about the middle of May. So.
And can people advance order then?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I'm hoping in the next week and a half, that I will have it up and ready for pre-order.
Just as a heads up, I probably won't, because right now I'm just getting this podcast going. And as I just explained, once I get into a book, it's like I used to go on holiday and take like a suitcase of books, because that's when I did all my reading. I'd stay up all night. And it was great. My next question is all about me and a smattering of others I know. So I apologize. If I'm trying to not give any business to Amazon, what other options do you know of, or do you use to get your book out there?
Yeah, I've gone wide. Many have gone with just Amazon, but I don't. So, I mean, there's many others, like Barnes & Noble, Apple, Google Play Books, Kobo. And then there's several other ones that you don't hear of much, like Overdrive, Scribd, those kind of things, libraries. And so, but because many are in the States, and it becomes a lot when you have it on each individual one, I have Amazon, Kobo, and then I was using Smashwords to send out your book to all of the others, Apple, Kobo, Apple, Barnes & Noble. You can just use them and they can do everybody if you want. But now I'm using Draft2Digital. Both are really good. I just like Draft2Digital platform a little bit more. But they both do a good job of distributing.
Oh.
So like I said, you can do direct. Although Barnes & Noble, part of the reason I went with an aggregate like that was because back when I started, Barnes & Noble wouldn't let me, because I wasn't American, have an account and do it. I'm not sure now. And Apple was quite a process back then. I think Apple, though, you can do now fairly easily, but I've just found it easier to use Draft2Digital or Smashwords.
Oh, okay. I always edit the podcast, so I will probably make a short list of some of those places you've just recommended. Big question, do you have affiliate links, or like, is there an affiliate program?
No, for my books and stuff, you can.
No, I meant for like Smashwords. Like if somebody goes to Smashwords via your recommendation.
I don't think so. I don't
okay.
know.
I just wanted to give you an option to throw that out there.
That's a great question. I'll look into it, but I don't think so. I don't think okay. they have. I don't know.
Okay, we have some time. So, yeah, if you want to take a look and then, you know, and I always put this as, you know, Glenna, make a few pennies if you follow this link, but that's fair too.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Like I said, I don't know. They might.
Okay, just something for future consideration. Okay, time to blow your own horn. What are these awards that we've heard about and that you've won?
Well, actually, a number of my books have won some awards. So I won through a magazine. Oh, and the name just slipped my mind. Anyway, through a magazine, it won Suspense Thriller of the Year. That was Tainted Waters. That was a couple years ago. Captured Lies has won a few awards. Book of the Month, Reader's Choice. Deadly Ties, I believe, also won Reader's Choice. Split Seconds also won a Reader's Choice. Reader's Favorite, I believe it was called. So, yeah, so they've won a number of different awards, several of my books. So, yeah, it's very exciting when they do, and when people recommend them for, you know, different awards. It's great.
Right. And do you see sales go up then? When that happens?
Yeah, it definitely helps. I mean, people like to know if books have been, you know, have won awards or you know, are doing well. People like to know that. So yeah, awards definitely help.
Well, and I'm sure even just getting either the title or your name out in front of more people, it's like, oh, I haven't heard of her, but she's won an award. I better check this out. So
yeah.
And then there's the snobs among us who say, oh, it's won an award. Of course I'll read it now.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, we all sort of do that, right? We look for what kind of recognition does a book or a writer have. So, yeah, it makes a difference. It really does.
Okay, I promise to go in and give you all these glowing reports. Okay, you mentioned you have a new title coming out in May. What is that title?
So it's a start of a series that I'm doing. It's going to be called the Twisted Deception series. And the first book is called Fostered Identity. And like I said, it will be coming out in May. And so the whole series is going to have a background story that is centers around eight girls who were raised in the foster system on a farm. And it was a very secluded farm. And they had a decent upbringing, but there was a few twisted things that happened there. And now they're all adults and have moved on with their life, and they're in their 40s, 50s. But each book is then going to have, so that's sort of the background story that's going to carry over. Each book is kind of a new story, and it's either the daughter or somebody who's in like their 30s, I guess, early 30s. And it's more her story, but then it gets tangled up with her mom's and learning about her mom's past. And so in this first story, Sally is the woman who grew up in this foster system. And when she was a child, growing up in this foster system, the woman had a whole bunch of jewelry, very expensive jewelry, but she told them it was just baubles. And so as kids, they would play with this, they would look after it, that kind of stuff. Anyway, now as adults, it's arriving at their homes, and it turns out that they're all worth millions of dollars, but they don't know who's sending it because that woman has passed away. And so that story gets tangled up with the story of the daughter's story. And in this Fostered Identity, the daughter's story is Shyla, and her younger teenage sister has been adopted and wants to know about her life. And anyway, she runs away while she's supposed to be staying with the sister. And so the sister's trying to hide that from the mom. And anyway, then the mom's story starts coming out. And anyway, so they're very, they get intertwined anyway. So it's yeah.
Okay.
Lots of twists and turns.
I was just going to say, if anybody doubted my original words, how they understand.
And thank you so much for reading Deadly Ties. I truly appreciate it. But I will be honest. I write complex stories. They are not simple stories. They are complex. You're going to meet several characters, but my key to everybody is keep reading, because it all ties up. They all make sense and they all come together. You'll know who they are and why. But I like giving the point of view of different characters, so you understand them a little bit more, right? You get inside their head and think, okay, that's a little bit crazy, but all right. I get why this guy's doing what he's doing.
Politically incorrect here, but do you have multiple personalities? Don't answer that. I was just being, as I say, not PC.
Well, if you look at all my characters, you may think that.
Oh, this has been really interesting. It's been really nice to get to know both Glenna and Maggie. It's great. Before we wrap, we have some similarities in our past. I don't know if we've discussed this before. Activation rec therapy in the world of elder care. Mm-hmm. On your website, you say, and I quote, "The women felt like they were being left behind, like their lives didn't really matter." And I remember that vividly. And I also remember how it broke my heart. Your other genre that I know about, you may have others, is to capture story, the essence of a life. And I think that's probably also a subject of great interest to boomers, especially boomer women, both for our parents to capture their story, but also we're all grandparents, or many of us are becoming grandparents, and to capture our own story, not so much for our children, but definitely for our grandchildren. Is there any chance I can coax you back on sometime in the future to talk about that?
I would absolutely love to come on and talk about my other stories and about the importance of getting your parents' story and sharing yours, yeah. And especially women. We're so bad at that.
Well, and I don't know what your experience was like, but given the ages, is that the women that were in care were of an age where they were groundbreakers, mm-hmm. You know, like the first in their field, the first woman in their field ever, and they still didn't think they'd done anything interesting or momentous. So it was, yeah, just crazy.
Yeah, I would love to talk to you about many of the interviews that I did with elderly women about their lives and about how they saw it and stuff. And just, yeah, because it, okay. it was so eye-opening. I would absolutely love to come back on.
Oh, good. Okay, yay. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
All right. You can learn more about me at maggietom.com. And you can also learn more about me at glennamaggio.com. And I'm in all the bookstores online. You can also order my books into your library. You can order them into your local bookstore. Really, you can get my books wherever you may be in the world.
Okay. And needless to say, or maybe it isn't, I need to say, but all the links will be in the show notes. So listeners can just check out the show notes. And there's also a website. I have twoboomerwomen.com. So in keeping with your world of mystery, only give me a one-word answer to this next question, just to tease out our listeners. May I join the inner reading circle?
Yes.
Okay, now everybody in podcast land has to go figure out what I just asked. Oh, I have notes, as you can probably imagine. What is Island Rock Creations?
Well, that actually is, wow, you've been doing lots of work, my girl. That is actually taking rocks and creating some creations. In fact, I have one right here. And so these are all rocks that have been collected and then make them into different shapes absolutely.
Oh,
love these, yeah.
That's beautiful, yeah. It's interesting. I've done a whole bunch of things. My grandson loves to collect rocks. So we've done things that aren't nearly as beautiful as that. And just because we are an audio only thing here, it was, there was a base of several beautiful stones. And do you varnish them or something? And then circle over top made of stones that all seem to be similar stones.
It's all stones. Yeah, it's all glued together. There's a whole bunch of different shapes, designs. Yeah. And it's actually my husband who has been doing this. So they're stunning. I love rocks. So to have to go pick rocks is, I'm okay with that.
And you've got a page on Facebook for that too, don't you? Just, we'll put all the links in the show notes.
You do for that. And also for Maggie Tom and Glenn Imagio. You can find both of my pages on Facebook and pretty much all of the internet, most of the other social media as well, but more active on Facebook.
Good. Well, for anybody who wants a little bit of brain stimulation or who loves a really complex plot, I certainly recommend. And yeah, I'll be going back to get more books. I need to drink more wine.
Yes, it goes well with them.
Okay. I'll close with a quote from my guest. Read to escape, escape to read. Thanks, Glenna. It's been a treat.
Oh, thank you, Agnes. Absolutely love it. And congratulations on Two Boomer Women. I just love it.
Thank you. Talk to you again.